Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Here you go, Maysoon. NIAID Art Center's Win Win 9 is coming up on March 6, 2021, and the theme for this year is NIAID Dreams. NIAID's dreams include continuing to support the more than 65 studio artists practicing remotely at NIAID 5 days a week, plus NIAID's six-day exhibitions program, and inviting artists from NIAID's wider art world to curate shows, give talks, and collaborate as part of their programs. And they get paid for it. Support NIAID to support our community by going to winwin9.givesmart.com. That's win, W-I-N, W-I-N, 9. Okay? winwin9.givesmart.com to get tickets, sponsor the event, and be there for a really fun party on Saturday, March 6th. That's this Saturday. As NIAID artist Joseph Ruck says, being united one to another, that is a NIAID dream.
Aww. I love that. I love the title, Win Win 9. It's got such a good sound coming off of it, don't you think?
Yeah. We also got from Alice, who also sent us some more words about NIAID from artists Christian, Shauna, Sam, Jonathan Velasquez, Giomara, Rebecca, and Shirley, Sarah, Arden, Joshua, Darlene, and Danny T. Here are some things that people said about NIAID. I like the field trips. I like the staff. Just being there. I like when we're all together on Zoom. I like how we get art supplies delivered, including paper and markers, Crayola crayons,
that's awesome.
And colored pencils. I like just seeing people there. I like movement class. I like bingo. I like all my friends. I like music class. I like teachers. I like seeing other artists' art, making friends and working on projects together, ceramics and fiber, getting inspired, and so much more. The list goes on and on and on.
That's such a great list. I love that.
Hell yeah. I highly encourage everybody to check out this Win Win 9.
Win Win 9, everyone.
Yay,
NIAID.
Okay, Maysoon. It's our favorite thing that ever happens. We got a voicemail from a listener.
I know. I'm kind of excited.
It's the only reason we came back to record another episode. We were this close to quitting, but we decided to come back. So let's go ahead and give it a listen.
All right.
Oh, hi, this is Margaret Timbrell, and I was calling in response to your question about the Van Gogh immersive experience because I thought it was a really interesting conversation you guys were having. I personally am not super stoked for the art show in either One Direction or another, but I know two people who are crazy excited for it, and I would say that both of those people are not part of the Bay Area art scene, and not generally part of an art scene, but like one of them, she buys her artwork off of the SaatchiGallery.com website. And the other one is a teacher who traveled and like the Van Gogh Museum was one of her favorite places in the whole wide world. So I think that this show is a good experience for people as a like gateway to art. Like it draws in people who like art, but are probably intimidated by the general art experience and probably don't know that they can go see art galleries for free. But they see art museums when they travel. And so by having this kind of crazy art experience, they are getting exposed to art and culture in a way that they wouldn't otherwise be exposed. So for that reason, I think it's really good because it's kind of more of opening art up to more of the world and making it less elitist, so making it more accessible to everyday folks. So for that reason, I think it's a good show. I don't want to pay for this kind of experience, but I'm curious about what other people's experiences will be with it. Okay, thanks. Love the podcast. Bye.
I thought the listener made some good points about maybe the show being an interesting opportunity for people who don't fancy themselves, you know, in the art world, let's say. Maybe it's for the everyday person who wants to go see or have an art experience, but is maybe intimidated by the art scene, or that just, you know, is nervous about the mainstream art scene. I don't know what you call it anymore.
I felt like she was saying they don't even necessarily know it exists.
Well, she made it sound like maybe they know about museums, but they don't know about like small galleries that are free, you know?
Right.
So I thought that was nice, but I also feel like she talked about two of her friends who are really, really, really excited about the show. And one of them, I think, is like obsessed with Van Gogh and went to the Van Gogh Museum in Europe. I don't know where in Europe right now, and is really excited. But for me, I'm like, if you're obsessed with Van Gogh, is this how you want to see Van Gogh? I don't know, because I'm kind of obsessed with Van Gogh, to be quite honest, and I don't want to see Van Gogh this way at all. I find it kind of upsetting, almost. So that was interesting. Just we all have different ways of wanting to experience art in our lives. And it was funny that she said her other friend was someone who buys work off of Saatchi.com. Did you hear that one? That was kind of funny. I was like, oh,
yeah.
How is that expensive? What is Saatchi.com? I mean, I know what Saatchi Gallery is, but I don't know what Saatchi.com, like, what does that mean if you're buying artwork off of Saatchi.com?
I think it, like, anyone can make an account on there and submit their work to sell it there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like an Etsy situation.
An Etsy situation.
But okay. Interesting. But for a little more serious art work.
I see. You know, I don't know.
Serious in quotes.
I'm still not into it. I do appreciate that she said maybe it would provide a less elitist kind of experience for people who are interested in art but don't know where to sort of enter the art world per se. Maybe it's for... I think she actually used the word gateway, right, in her message?
Yes.
A gateway to art.
Kind of
which I thought was right. Kind of funny.
And I just don't think, I don't agree with that. I don't think that this, I mean, unless, as we said in that last episode, there are going to be local artists there, like, making things like jewelry and fiber crafts, yeah, and stuff like that. And maybe if the person is going by there and, like, talks to one of those artists and maybe that artist has an open studio or something like that, maybe that can kind of start to get them involved with the local art scene, art world, whatever.
Yeah. Maybe it's like a gateway to art as commodity.
Yeah, you know? I just don't understand how you would go to this Van Gogh laser light show. Yeah. And then next thing you know, you're like, you know, headed over to like Root Division or whatever.
Right. I don't know. My mom is really excited about it. And I should ask her more about what she's thinking about it. And she goes to galleries and museums and has lots of artists who are friends or friends who are artists. And I don't know. It's interesting. I'm still definitely not into it, but it's also COVID. And if it weren't COVID, I might go check it out. Or at least I might try to drag you out to do a word on the street with people who are coming in and out of the place.
Yeah, do some interviews of people leaving would be...
Yeah. What do they
you
think?
You know, we'd only talk to three people and then I would have to go home and rest.
I think we need to do like a word on the street once a year for practice.
Okay, well...
Outside of COVID times, obviously.
Let me get my vaccine. Did you work out your DIY vaccine yet?
My God. I tried it with water, and that definitely didn't work. So don't use water,
everyone.
Yeah, I've been
sucking down water. Oh, okay. Damn.
I have some lotion that's old. I think it's expired, and it has a really strong smell. So maybe that would be kind of like a good thing to try. It might be really pungent and... perhaps toxic and might fight a virus.
No, Mason.
It's a too grim.
Thank you to the listener for calling in.
Thank
and
you so
anyone,
much,
if you want to call in and contact us, please give us a call at 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can send us an email, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com.
Here's my question, Kate. When you go to another place,
yes,
do you ever do the cheesy tourist things?
Yes.
Because maybe we're just too much of like, we're like Bay Area snobs where we're like, oh, get that shitty thing out of here. How dare you bring such low art to our cities? You know,
well,
like maybe
I wouldn't go.
We just can't. We just can't open up to the possibility of it just being like a weirdo fun thing for people. Who cares, right?
I definitely do like very silly tourist stuff when I'm visiting other places, but nothing like this, because I would be like, oh, well, that thing is touring the entire world. Mm-hmm. Why would I be in this specific place and see this thing that you can see anywhere?
Right, right. Okay, just thinking.
But
just
I am a snob.
I know.
Will not deny that.
But I have to say, when I'm in other places, I'll see stuff that I probably would never maybe see if it were here. I'd be like, nah. But for some reason, there's like something about not being away from where you're from, where you're just like, let's just try anything.
Like, what are you doing out there, Mason?
Oh, I don't know.
Like what? Tell me.
Like rappelling into an art installation or...
Are you serious?
Maybe taking all of my clothes off at a dance performance because it was requested by the audience. You know,
are you serious?
Things I would never do here.
You're not doing that.
Yeah,
have
totally.
I'm talking, what have you done? You've done that? You haven't done that, you lying bastard.
Totally have done that. All of those things. Jumped into the Venice Canal with a floating fish around me. Those
talk about toxins. Things.
No, just kidding.
Okay, Mason, remember that residency that I keep getting advertised to me on Instagram?
Oh, yeah. And we were supposed to look into that.
Well, I got to tell you, I emailed those people and they never email me back. And the place is Proposals. Okay. And I think the website is proposalsforall.com or something. Everybody, start asking these people what their deal is. Okay, this is what I said to them. I said I was seeing their ads on Instagram and that I wanted more information about the residency. How is the selection process run? How many artists are accepted each year? What is the studio space like? Do you provide a stipend or do artists have to pay a fee? And I'd love to hear specific details about the residency and facilities before I apply. I was kind of pretending I was thinking about applying. So everybody email into these people. You can email them at hello@proposalsforall.com. And I really, if anybody gets a word back from these people, I'd love to hear it. Because as far as I can tell, it is not an artist residency. It is a luxury rental property on the Oregon coast.
Okay, so I'm going to email them about their luxury rental property and see what I get back. I think we need to have a multi...
Oh, they'll be like, go ahead and make a reservation.
Yeah, let's have a multi-pronged strategic approach here where we ask them many things from different people.
Yeah.
So that
I think that's
piece
a great idea.
Who they really are.
I think you should ask about the rental property and then parlay that conversation, because they'll definitely respond to that. Then you need to parlay that conversation into the residency.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll talk about how I'm a famous international curator.
Use your journalism, Mason.
I'm going to.
Okay, great.
I'm excited. I love this kind of shit. You know me. Give me a job. I'm on it.
Okay, Mason, another thing that's been trending.
Oh, there's so many things.
Is
Well, actually, what's been trending? What are you looking at? What are you seeing? Other than all the cat videos I constantly send you.
Mason, the big trending right now is blockchain, art on the blockchain.
I don't understand. Help me.
Okay, it's a tech thing. You hate it. It's a tech. Just know that you don't like it. It's a tech thing.
No, I don't openly hate tech things.
Yeah, you do. Okay, so basically what the deal is it's basically like you can turn your art into like a Pokemon card, basically, that then can be traded for cryptocurrency.
Oh, I hate it. Yeah, I hate it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So basically any artwork or whatever it is, it's like digital, people are making digital art, and they are then given a string of digits, okay?
Okay.
Which is called a non-fungible token or an NFT.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
And then those can be traded on blockchain platforms, basically like a deed to the artwork. Yeah. It's kind of like instead of selling an object, because these usually a lot of this stuff is digital art, so it doesn't exist in physical form. So you're basically trading like a certificate to this art. And they're getting passed around. They're getting traded for cryptocurrency. There is an app called Foundation. So you can go to foundation.app, foundation.app. And they are running auctions for all this different digital artwork. And there is stuff on here getting sold for thousands of dollars.
Wait, why? What is it?
It's all different art, all lots of digital art.
Okay. And it looks like art. Like there's a visual. You have a visual of it. It's just not real. It's not a physical object. It's a digital object that you can trade.
Yeah. Some of it is like, I think some of it is like 3D modeled things that maybe you can interact with. I'm not totally sure.
Can you put something in there? Can you try to get involved?
Well, this particular website is, they are curating the artists. So it's not like Etsy where you can just throw your stuff up there. Mm-hmm. They are selecting artists to bring into their, stable, I guess. But they have like over 600 artists on here.
Are these artists that we know of, or are they just, it's a whole different realm of artists? It's all digital
people, you know? No, some of them I recognize their names.
Oh, okay.
There's also some musicians on here.
Oh.
All kinds of people.
So is
like
this...
Andrew Benson is a artist from LA who does digital art.
Oh,
I
love Andrew Benson so much.
You know Andrew Benson?
Yeah. Yeah, I worked with him when I was at SOEX. He's so great. He's such a great person. Cool. Maybe I'll email Andrew about it.
Okay, yeah. I asked some digital artists I know. The only thing is then there is a concern about carbon emissions because, you know, cryptocurrency mining, Bitcoin mining now has a bigger carbon footprint than some countries.
But it's not even a thing.
Yeah, but you have to use computers and like huge server farms.
You have to
server
use the internet. Yes.
They use server farms to be like,
wow,
you know, finding these fucking codes.
So interesting.
Okay, now, of course,
it's
I have
so
no
crazy.
Idea what I'm talking about, so I'll put a link in
the
underworld.
No, you do, though. You do, though.
I really don't, but I'll put a link in the underworld to a couple articles where you can get up to speed. But there's a lot of discourse, Maysoon, around is this something... Okay, anyhow, Maysoon, this is a breaking story. We may have more information
on
this.
What is it called again?
NFTs.
What's it?
That's what everyone's talking about. Non-fungible tokens.
I want to know about what non-fungible means, because when I think of the word fungible, I don't know that word. I do think of mushrooms for some reason, and that's a weird thing, but I just need some help understanding what that means.
I think it just can't be changed.
Oh.
Let me tell you, though, Maysoon, here, according to Wikipedia, a non-fungible token is a special type of cryptographic token which represents something unique. Non-fungible tokens are thus not mutually interchangeable.
Okay.
Oh, that's why. Okay, so for example, like if you have a Bitcoin, you know, you can trade that for another Bitcoin.
Okay.
And they're all the same.
Okay, that makes sense. Yep,
right?
Like a dime is a dime is a dime kind of thing.
Yeah, but if something has an NFT, or if you have an NFT, it's unique.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
It's just there's only one of it. So they're saying in contrast to cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and many network or utility tokens that are fungible in nature. Now, let's just go ahead and know what the word fungible means.
I really need
means.
To know more about that word.
In economics, fungibility is the property of a good or a commodity whose individual units are essentially interchangeable. Mm. So if something is fungible, it's interchangeable.
I understand.
And each of its parts is indistinguishable from another part. For example, gold is fungible since a specified amount of pure gold is equivalent to that same amount of pure gold.
Right.
Whether in the form of coins, ingots, or in other states.
Mm-hmm.
Other fungible commodities include sweet crude oil, company shares, bonds, other precious metals.
Do they actually say sweet crude oil?
They do say sweet crude oil.
Weird. That's amazing.
Is somebody doing weird stuff?
Well, I would understand them saying crude oil, but sweet crude oil is like sweet crude oil.
The term sweet originates from the fact that a low level of sulfur provides the oil with a relatively sweet taste and pleasant smell compared to sulfurous oil.
Oh, that is an actual term. See, we're learning so much.
This is all from Wikipedia.
We're learning so much.
This is the classic podcast trope of someone reading Wikipedia out loud.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, Maysoon, now that we've really gotten on the cutting edge of digital art and how we made the art market even more terrible and toxic to the earth, let's go ahead and learn about Southern Exposure's annual art auction, Friday, March 26, 2021.
It's really coming up fast.
It's going to be called Shine Together, an online benefit art auction and event reflecting the brilliance and brightness of our Bay Area community.
Cute.
You can get tickets at soex.org/auction. Yes, I do have one piece in there. I think I gave too big of a piece and too weird of a piece, and it's definitely not going to sell. So if anybody wants to save our lives and buy that piece, I will give you a hearty salute.
What is it of? Can you tell me about it?
It's a painting of Leon Czolgosz, the guy that assassinated William McKinley.
Oh, yeah.
Walking through the woods in Ohio.
That sounds great. I love it. It's too big?
Okay,
big
go ahead and buy it, Mason.
I'm
going
to buy it. I keep wanting a piece
it's
of
like
yours. I need to buy something.
It's like
30
by 24
someday.
Or something. Mason, I'll just give you whatever you want. You know that.
And it's framed, right? It's framed. I know.
Hell no, it's not framed. Am I a god?
Wait, but is it on a canvas or is it like on a piece of paper that's not framed?
It's on panel.
Okay.
It's on a wooden panel.
What am I, a god?
You can hang it up real nice without a frame.
Without a frame, yeah.
Okay.
Can I just make an announcement, like a kind, not a PSA, what is it called? Like, I'm going to put out a classified ad to our listeners.
Yes, that's all we want on this show.
Okay, dear listeners, I have a lot of unframed artwork that has been sitting in an archival box for too long, and I'm ashamed.
At least as long as this podcast has been going.
Well, no, I do take, well, yes, probably for quite a while. And I need some help figuring out ways to frame and like ways to hang work that maybe I need help figuring out what to do, basically. Some ideas around hanging work unframed and self-framing, basically. If you are interested, I may have a small stipend, but it would just be, yeah, I just need help.
So what you're looking for, Maysoon, is like advising?
I need some advising. I can't afford to pay someone to do it for me, that's for sure. So I would need someone who could maybe look at some of the items that I have and then help me determine like what things really need to be framed and what things could maybe be hung with like tabs or something more simple, like, and more affordable. I just need some advice.
Okay.
I need some help.
Good luck on that. So if anybody wants to be connected to Maysoon, you can just shoot us an email, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Or if you want to offer your very cheap framing services, you can offer those to Maysoon, and we'd be happy to shout you out on the show.
We would definitely be happy to shout you on the phone, out on the show, but I would feel guilty taking advantage of you. So, yeah.
I need to frame a lot of stuff, too. Maysoon, we should just get real and learn how to do framing.
Okay, can you and I have a little workshop together? Like a real short workshop?
Yeah, no. Okay, the lab. For each month of this year until the end of quarantine, the lab is sharing videos with you from their archives to highlight the work of artists that brought us all together back when we could be together. Aww. So...
I really miss the lab, actually.
I know. On July 25th of 2015, the lab hosted Robert Icke, Aubrey Lowe, and Ariel Kalma to celebrate the release of their album, We Know Each Other Somehow. And you can see performance from that and lots of other things at thelab.org. And you should just go ahead and sign up for the newsletter they send out, and then you'll get all these things from the archive directly to your inbox.
What institutions do you miss going to?
Oh, geez.
As we're coming up to our almost 1 year of this, of COVID, which is wild. I know everyone's talking about it. I mean, the shelter in place for San Francisco.
I don't know. Yeah, I miss the lab. I miss just being able to do a little gallery tour of all the stuff in the mission.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's plenty of galleries that have been open for like appointments and stuff, and I still haven't done that. So
yeah.
Maybe once I get this damn shot, I'll feel more like springing into all that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people will feel that way.
Vaccinated.
I made an appointment with McAvoy to see the show, the Isaac Julian show that's up right now, but it's not until April 24th.
Go.
It's like, it's so far away from now. Because I kind of was like, well, if I'm going to have to go inside somewhere, I'm going to be the first person there. you know, so I had to go out until they had like an 11 a.m. Slot available, which is at the end of April, basically.
Okay, Maysoon, what's the update on San Francisco? Because Chase Abudin, there is like, you have so much shit going on in San Francisco. What the fuck is going on
What's going on in San Francisco? Oh, man, I'm so the wrong person. I'm fucking out of it right now. I know that Chase Abudin's father, who's in jail, got vaccinated, which is he was very excited about. I saw on a post.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was cool.
Well, he's having a town hall this Thursday, March 4th at 5 p.m.
Oh, okay, great.
If you have questions that you would like to be addressed, you can send them in advance to District Attorney... Uh-oh. It's Wally's dinner time. You can send them in advance to districtattorney@sfgov.org. Get them in by 10 a.m. on Wednesday, March 3rd. Yeah, get in there. I know that one thing that people have been bringing up is that there's been a rise in murders in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. But that has been true across cities and small towns, like municipalities of all sizes across the United States in 2020.
Yeah. I mean, right. Probably from because of the pandemic in some way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he can... He's obviously not solely. He's also inheriting, you know, a system that's been fucked up. So it's sort of like, yeah, he has a lot of work to do, and we need to see that there's some movement. But he's also not the one who's responsible for the issues that we're seeing right this second, you know, which is fine.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people want more people locked up and want more policing, and
right,
obviously that's not his agenda.
He didn't run on a campaign that was about locking more people up, you know, like, and I exactly. I'm still happy for people not to be locked up and for there to be, you know, a different kind of justice kind of available for families and for both victims and the people who are committing the crimes, you know. And I think I feel like that's what a lot of communities have been calling for. And I think it's just going to be, you know, we know that there's nonprofit organizations who've been working in that direction for a long time. So hopefully cities and municipalities can start working with those groups directly. And, you know, the ones who have already kind of figured out what the resources can look like instead of calling the police or putting people in jail.
Maysoon, is it time to dismantle the government and move on?
Always.
Uh-oh, I'm getting pumped up.
You're getting pumped up. I'm getting like, it's making me think about how... Just making me think about my own, what's the word? Just like, yeah, you're right. We have been totally controlled by government and, or, you know, corporations and even just organizations, and how that stuff happens in such like, for some of us, in like such a, not blind way, but in a way that's...
insidious.
Yes. And that is disturbing to think about, just like these things just happen in a way that we don't even realize is a way to fight against it, or we're not even, it's so insidious that we don't even think that it should be fought against to some degree, you know, like the notion that nonprofits are always great and good, right? That they should exist. Well, maybe they shouldn't. In fact, there's so many arguments that the structures have been, you know, are there and they keep people down, you know? Man, this show got heavy.
Okay, Maysoon Terrain. Oh, what's that?
I said the show got heavy.
Oh, Maysoon Terrain Exhibitions is having some kind of residency thing.
Where is Terrain? Tell me more.
Okay. You know, Terrain, there's a Terrain Biennial that basically is like people put work out in their yard. Or wherever, out in public, like out in the front of their building or out a window or wherever you want. And they are doing some kind of residency thing. They're accepting applications for the 2021 Terrain Exhibitions Residency Program. It is hosted by the Springfield Art Association /Enos Park Residency for Visual Arts in Springfield, Illinois. Your favorite.
Oh, that's my home state.
For a period of 4 to 8 weeks between May 1st and September 4th. It's due March 31st, so that's the end of this month. You can send your materials which includes a bunch of stuff, which you can probably find all this at terrainexhibitions.org. And if you have questions, email Allison, that's A-L-L-I-S-O-N, a.k.a. all is on at terrainexhibitions.org. Oh. Check it out. Do a residency. Are they really doing these? Are they really doing residency still, Maysoon?
I would be surprised if they were.
Because Bemis, also the residency that never lets me go there, is taking applications.
What application number are we on?
This would be my 11th. My 11th application.
Fuck. Bemis, Lord, get it
let
together.
Let me down. Let me down every time at Bemis. They are taking open call applications for their residency period from May 18th to August 12th, and that is due April 1st, April Fool's Day. Be a fool by sending your application into Bemis so they can summarily reject it.
Oh no. What if this is the year? What if it's the year and you're like, wait, it's COVID, fuck you. What if they're like, come on, Kate,
wouldn't that
fly
be
out
wild?
To fucking Omaha.
Wouldn't that, I mean, of course, that that's what would happen. Okay, Maysoon, it's International Women's Month or something. Where do you stand on Generation Z? Born
being the most
in the late
generation?
1990s through the early 2010s.
Oh, well, my best friend's daughter is part of this generation, and she is amazing.
Maysoon, I gotta take a stand right now.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Got a problem with this generation?
I'm climbing. I'm taking the elevator all the way to the top of my high horse.
Oh, damn.
Okay. And I'm going to say,
okay, go for
I
it.
Am
Let's hear it.
Sick of the intergenerational fighting.
Oh.
Okay. I don't want to hear any more bad things about boomers. I don't want to hear any bad things about zoomers. I definitely don't want to hear bad things about millennials or Gen X. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I think that oftentimes when I hear people talking shit about a particular generation, who they're right. really talking shit about is rich white people.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty accurate.
Okay. So when I see people talking shit about boomers, right. they're not talking about all boomers. They're not talking about working class boomers. They're not talking about boomers
of color. It's
usually
white men.
They're talking about white, rich white women, or yeah, men too, but I feel like it's I'm sick of hearing about it. There was also a viral video going around where a millennial was talking shit about zoomers for making fun of her jeans or some
wait,
shit.
What are zoomers?
And like,
is that
who
Generation
gives a
Z?
Fuck? Zoomers are Gen Z, yeah.
Okay, got it.
We need to come together as a people. We need to break down these stupid artificial barriers between us, and we need to say, rise up.
Ladies, gentlemen, you have been chosen to witness the announcement of a momentous event in the history of our planet. The liberation of mutant kind has begun.
We all have something to offer, no matter how old we are, right?
I'm pissed.
I'm like a peace, love, and happiness person right now. It's ridiculous.
Okay, everyone. I hope we are going to be holding hands across the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations, Pine Tree.